Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Mystique Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content, such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyles, and wellness and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. Y'all know my format. Before we start the show, I always like to give some shout-outs. And this show is no different. So first shout-out goes out to all the mommies out there for Mother's Day. You know, my daughter, she treated me like a queen that day. She's my favorite little person on the earth. Special shout-out to my mom who made over, like, 250 face masks, like, so far for my staff, my volunteers, at my job. Family, friends, she amazes me. I love seeing what she comes up with every week. It's so exciting to get her packages and to share the love. Also, shout out to all the frontline workers out there delivering food, nurses, doctors, those working in essential stores, news reporters, and all the online teachers. Boy, this year was a battle. I can't even imagine being I'm a teacher all over again. That was my first profession, and apparently that's my second job after work. It amazes me, everybody out there, that you guys are the true heroes. Thank you to everybody out there that's doing the hard work. Also, shout out to all the May birthdays. My sister-in-law, Lori, happy birthday. Eva Perlman, Damon, and all those recently who had a birthday. And last but not least, shout out to Antonio McKee, who was on my show before. Y'all know him. He introduced me to our special guest on tonight's show, and I'm so excited to finally have my first ever pro female boxer MMA fighter on this show. I have been waiting since my very first show going, oh, I got to get a female fighter, you know, just the timing and everything. So this is a special day, and I'm so happy to roll out this red carpet and introduce to y'all Miss Erin Tohill. Are you on the line? Let me see here. Let's see. Erin.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How you doing?
Okay, good. I'm good. I called in, so I just wanted to make sure. I'm like, I hope I have the right number. So.
Yeah, I was just having it was like pausing to get you in here, and I was like, no. So I'm glad I got you on here.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, just maintaining. This is a crazy time that we're living in right now, right?
Absolutely. You know,
People
are, you know, you can see, I mean, I'm sure you have listeners from other places, but yeah, I mean, in California, we're just, you know, everybody is, we did our part, and I do my part as well, but, you know, people are, you know, the economy is crashing and everyone's losing their businesses. Like Garden Grove Boxing closed down, a couple other friends had to close their gyms down. I mean, all small businesses, but you get, you know, the corporations like Amazon, Walmart, Target are, you know, now like 50% up they were you know, 2 months ago. So it's really sad. It's crushing the little people, quote unquote, which is, you know, they're who makes, that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. I mean, but you know, we can look at things another way too. And I guess, you know, for me, I'm saying, okay, this makes me have to get on my grind, get on my hustle. How can you sustain your business during this time? So some have no choice, but some, you know, it's forcing people to be creative. And like my brother, he has, he opened up like, he has four restaurants and then he has all these pop-up hamburger joints out there in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And the hamburger joints are doing freaking amazing. And who would have knew?
Right.
You know, and the food trucks, they're doing amazing. I mean, restaurants, challenging because they got to close their doors unless it's takeout. And a lot of people are afraid of takeout because you don't know who has the disease, or, you know, you don't know who has the virus, mm-hmm. and you don't know who has, is practicing safe, you know, food practices, right?
You know, it's just, the irony is that everybody cares now when it was really like, you know, most people don't know where their food comes from anyway and who's touching it anyway and all of the diseases and everything else with that. It's like, you know, no one cared before. But at any rate, yeah, I just hope everybody is able to, you know, especially all the fires that depended on that as their source of income, you know, that's another sad part. So I feel for everyone. I'm very empathetic and sympathetic, and I'm a hustler. I'm a grinder. I'm a wolf. So it's like, I know if something, I always have a plan. If A doesn't work, I go to B or C. So, and this is the type of time where, you know, the wolves are only going to survive. There's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to make it in certain aspects. So, you know, I hope they do, but it's a tough time right now for people.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. We're going to talk about you because I have so many questions for you, and I'm so, so, so excited to have you on my show. Like, what, how has this, just affected your training right now? Are you still on the grind, training hard right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, at first, because, you know, when this happened, I don't know what now, 2 months ago or something. So, I mean, initially for the first 2 weeks, I was kind of in stasis. And I'm like going, you know, because I have quite a full client load of people that I train, and it's boxing. You know, so 99% of the people that I train is, you know, I'm holding the mitts, I'm doing that. I can do that anywhere. I'm fortunate enough where it's like I don't need a gym, you know, and a squat rack and X bar, and I don't kettlebells, you know, I don't need that stuff. I implement that at times. But going back to that, it was like, yeah, for about 2 weeks, it was a little, I was a little worried, you know, because I had about a third of my clients and then went to half. They were, you know, people were worried, and rightfully so. I train older people as well. Some people who are, their immune system is compromised. I have a couple people like that. I have all kinds of people, you know, men, women, kids. So I'm never, anybody who knows me, I just let people be. And, you know, some of them fell off and then they've come back, and then some haven't come back yet. But work was kind of, like I said, just at a standstill. And then I'm like, okay, it's time to move. You know, it's time to move. It's time to figure out what's going on. I took a little bit of time off training and then just gradually started going back in and figuring out, okay, certain gyms are closed, certain ones aren't. And, you know, what's saving people right now as well, and kind of digressing about this, but it's like community. You know what I mean? Like, I live alone and I'm very comfortable living alone. I can be in my own presence for for a long time. Now that when I was in my 20s, I couldn't do that. But what's really hurting people is the ability not to have community right now. And that's what saves people. That's why people go into, you know, the boxing gyms or sports or the CrossFit or whatever. It's like a sense of family and a sense of community. So, you know, that's the biggest thing that I think people were losing, you know. And when we go into the gym and we see everybody, it's like, it's great, you know, we need that. And that's what helps. So, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure, for sure. I mean, isolation is a big deal. And just staying socially connected, you know, people that are listening out there, make sure you're feeling lonely, you're feeling depressed, make sure you reach out to somebody. Call your family, call your friends, do something, go on a walk, wave at somebody, you know, something.
Right.
But we got to, you know, people got to be connected, you know?
Right. It's key,
so,
you know, that's how people die. It's like humans can overcome a lot of stuff. We are very resilient. We can bounce back from just about anything. But the one thing that humans cannot sustain for long periods of time is isolation, and that's a proven fact. People will die if they're isolated, you know, and they've done these studies in prisons and in third world countries, and it's, a, you know, statistically it's true. But people know, and this is a scary time right now, but it's also a time for an awakening. You know, you can take this time, and there's spiritually, I'm really into, I mean, whatever your higher power is, it could be anything, but I mean, this is the time right now to look inwards. And when we have this time that's to ourselves and we get to do inventory and introspection, we're not going to have something like this for, hopefully not, but for a long time to come, you know. And people are, you can choose, we have choice. That's what separates us from the animals. We're cognizant beings. Now, you can choose to, you know, look at this one way, or you can choose to look at it another way. And
yeah, that's very true.
That's a fact, you know. So
it truly is. It truly is. I just hope that, you know, that those that are listening, again, just stay socially connected. And, you know, you made some really valid points. You know, so I want to talk about your boxing journey and MMA journey. What got you into, I believe you started at age 18. What got you, what made you, you know, want to be a boxer or an MMA fighter?
I was talking to one of my coaches about this the other day, funny enough, but I was an athlete my whole life. My family was, my dad was a great athlete. My brother was an athlete. I started playing soccer at 4 years old, and my father who raised us was really big on sports and wanting us to be involved in something, you know, team sport community, because he knew how valuable sports was with competence, you know, dedication, getting obstacles, challenges, all those type things that, you know, you talk about in sports, but all those things are really true. And for women, you know, we get an even better, we get more self-esteem than the men do. There's other things that women, you know, benefit more so of. My dad always knew that because he was a coach and whatnot. But anyway, I played soccer. I played, softball. I pretty much did everything. And so when I was already being scouted in like junior high for like universities, you know, and when I went into college or when I went into high school in Los Angeles, South Bay area. So my family's from, my mom's side is from Torrance and San Pedro, Wilmington. I had a lot of problems growing up, let's just put it that way. So I had a lot of displaced anger. I did, like I said, my dad raised three kids by himself. And I had a big chip on my shoulder. So, like, I'm telling you, I was getting into fights. I remember the first time I got into a physical altercation, I was, like, in second grade. And I remember it very vividly. And then it just, right, and I think my mom was still in the picture until like first grade or something. And then she took off, but I always remember that. That was the first time that something happened, and then it really escalated from there.
What was it about? Tell me about that fight. Do you remember that fight? Like, what did you fight about?
I remember
in second grade?
I remember it was a boy, and his name was Ryan, and I hit him, so hard. I think I broke his nose, and his mom wanted to sue, like, our family. I mean, I remember that vividly. I don't remember what it was about, but those are those things that, like, point, you know, moments of impact. And, you know, my thing was anger.
Yeah.
And I just was angry for many, many, many years. And so going into high school, you know, I'd already started junior high and blah, blah, blah. But really, because I was such a problem, you know, I went to 5 different high schools in 3 years, and I got kicked out of a couple schools for fighting. And so I did have offers for university, Stanford. I had offers for, like, I could have gone almost anywhere, any D1 school. And I wanted to party instead. You know what I mean? I didn't care. I really didn't care. I was like, oh, I get kicked out. Oh, I was, you know, and I didn't know what my path was, but at that point it wasn't college. You know, I was going to do anything opposite of what my dad was telling me, even though he had every, you know, of course you look back now and it's like he was the greatest father, he was the greatest man I've ever known. I was so thankful to have a dad that was like him. And he never gave up on us, you know what I mean? But I just went against everything he wanted, because that's what kids do, you know, rebellion.
Yeah.
So when I, let's see, so that's in, you know, Los Angeles. And then I came down here to Orange County. I moved down here by myself when I was 17 with a boyfriend. And, you know, I still angry. So maybe like, you know, when I'm 18 or something, this was when cardio kickboxing started to get really big. So for people who don't know, I'm 42. I'll be 43 in June 13th. So this is, you know, like 25 years ago. LA Boxing was the first thing. Sean McCulley owned that. And it was over in Costa Mesa. It was an autonomous gym. You know, UFC ended up buying them, and then they spread out, whatever. But this was the first one. So I walked in there, and I just wanted to take classes. You know what I mean? I never had any intention. Like, I knew when I was that age, I knew about Lucia Riker. She was badass. I grew up watching her. There was, like, Bridget Riley. You know, these I just remember watching these girls, like, on USA Fights or something, right? And women did this. I didn't know that women did MMA and all of this stuff, and I never had the intention of doing that. I just needed an outlet for my anger, and I was still very competitive, and et cetera, et cetera. And then it really just turned into that. So I was training jiu-jitsu at that time too. And then, you know, I wasn't really taking anything seriously. And then, you know, Sean McCulley was like, hey, did you ever... You know, he's like, you're a pretty angry chick. Did you ever think about fighting? And I'm like, well, I do every weekend, you know, because really I was like going to bars already with fake IDs. And we thought we were so cool, you know. And and really it just kind of developed from there. And at that time there wasn't all of the social platforms there are now. We didn't know, you know, if you wanted to get tape on somebody, you had to order a VHS tape. You know what I mean? It was like, you weren't going to look up somebody online.
Those.
Yeah, you weren't going to look up somebody online and be like, oh, let me find their Instagram account. It was like, we had BoxRec, which is still, you know, legit to this day. But, you know, I didn't know people were watching my fights. I didn't know anything was happening. We started fighting, and I was successful at it. But, you know, I did it because I was crazy, and I needed an outlet.
Yeah, I mean.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, you literally, you know, started, you know, in those small shows before women like Gina Carano got in the ring. And, you know, you really are kind of a pioneer in the sport. I mean, you're talking about VHS tapes.
Yeah, I mean,
you really are considered
a
pioneer.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And definitely. I mean, I was fighting in Japan. I didn't even have a fight in America in MMA until, like, 2006. So, you know, I was fighting in Japan, and we were fighting. These were, like, open weight tournaments. Like, so people don't know, my very first fight, and I fought. This woman was, like, I was 21 at the time or something, barely. And this was in 1999, so this was, like, 21 years ago. And it was in Aruba, and this was when it was called Valley Judo. We were talking about this on another interview I did, but it was like, it wasn't called MMA. It was like Valley Judo, no holds barred. So it was like, God, who, Gilbert Ivel fought in that. Heath Herring fought there. I mean, a lot of future, like, pride champions were on this card. And I remember because they did a tournament with the men, but so – I mean, I'm sure I didn't know this until I got there, but my very first fight was one fucking round, 15 minutes.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh my gosh.
And the men were 30 minute rounds. You want to talk about old school and, like, badass? Like,
what?
I mean, 15 minutes. So yeah, the men, and I forget the guy who, anybody who's listening who, like, knows this fight, they know the guy who put it on. He's a Brazilian guy. But the men did a 30 minute round, if it lasted that long, and my first fight was 15 minutes, one round. I mean, that's insane.
Oh,
I was in no shape
that
to do that.
Absolutely.
And I was fighting
insane.
Yeah, and I was fighting. I got a draw with this person, and I was fighting. I should have won, actually, but it was like, I fought some bitch who had, she had like 30 kickboxing fights. She only lost to, like, Lucia Riker and, like, you know, a couple other people, but it was like
her third
or fourth MMA fight. And of course we don't know any of that.
Oh my God.
Works. And they're like, yeah. And I mean, I was a badass. I thought I was. And then I saw this chick and I'm like, oh, you know, what the, and I go, okay, I'm getting $1,000. Okay. I got $1,000. Me, Sean McCauley, his brother, Justin McCauley, went, both of them fought. God, and Justin was a black belt under Alon Goez, and Sean, if you know the sport, Sean's been around a long time too. So, but yeah, you know, I'm like, fuck it, $1,000. I get to go to Aruba, you know, what an amazing experience.
Yeah. I mean, that's right there. You know, a lot of people don't realize that fighting really provides a lot of opportunities. Like, you know, traveling is, you know, one of them. Fighting, boxing, or MMA, I mean, it provides so many amazing opportunities outside of the ring, you know, like you just said, you know, Aruba. I mean, what are some of the most interesting places that you've ever fought?
Well, I fought in Japan like 5 or 6 times. I really love Japan, and I have some some of the most amazing times of my life was going there and just partying there. And, like, this was when Pride was really big. This was when, you know, this is like early 2000s, mid 2000s. Like, things will never be the same. I got to see 2 Pride shows, you know, like, things will never be like that again. It's a moment of time where there's these certain characters of fighters, you know what I mean? You had, like, what, like, Mark Kerr, you had Coleman, you had Antonio Nogueira, like, all these guys, and most of them ended up going to the UFC. But I mean, that was the time of, like, when we talk about, like, no rules, no holds barred. And even when I fought that girl, that woman, her name was Irma Verhoeven, they said we didn't have to wear gloves. The guy goes,
oh my
hey,
gosh,
the guys
are you serious?
Didn't wear gloves. The guys didn't wear gloves. And they go, you and your female fighter. And Sean goes, are you kidding? He's like, she's too pretty. We're, you know, she's going to wear the gloves. And, like, probably thank God. I don't know. I mean, I've had my face busted up for sure. But, but just going back to that, it's like I've had a lot of amazing opportunities, and I know so many people from the sport around the world, and just amazing people. I mean, really, if I want, like, I know somebody in every area of the world. It's like if I wanted to call somebody and be like, hey, can I come to your gym? Or, hey, can we do this. I mean, those are connections that you make through, you know, being in the sport and trying to make, I don't know. I'm going to say too, I mean, I made a big impact. It's not like I fought and I was not good. I mean, I was a good fighter. I don't think I ever reached my peak in MMA because my career was so, there were so many ups and downs in it. I either was my own personal stuff or I messed up my career, or there was a time where people wouldn't even fight me. You know what I mean? They were
yeah,
scared,
that was like in
so.
2010, right? You had like seven people
yeah,
refuse
that was
to
like,
fight
uh-huh,
you. In 20,
so,
yeah.
Uh-huh. That was kind of like, you know, right around the time I retired. But yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of great opportunities. I got to do American Gladiators. I could have tried out for like pro wrestling. I would, you know, but at that time, it's funny. I was very, I was very prideful at that time too. So, I'm just like, oh, I'm a fighter. I did a lot of fitness modeling. I did a lot of other stuff. But really,
sure.
I should have taken the, you know, shot to go to a developmental camp or something. I think I could have crushed it, but I was very ego-driven at that time. And, oh, I'm only a fighter, and real fighters don't do that. And it's, you know.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Well, okay.
Shit happens.
So I want to. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about, you know, fighting MMA, I believe, really kind of paved a way for women in the sport because, you know, in boxing, like there's so many disparities, you know, in with the Olympics. the Olympics have been going on since 1896, and women were actually not allowed to watch the Olympics when they first started the Olympics. They weren't even allowed to watch or go to the Olympics. And then literally with the sport of boxing, you couldn't even compete as a female until 2012. Like, that's not that long ago.
Right.
That's 8 years ago.
That's right.
That's crazy.
That's right.
Crazy.
I remember that.
I was nuts. I mean, I remember it too. Like, it was yesterday. It was crazy. And I was so excited to see that. But I was, like, so sad at the same time. Like, why did it take so long? You know, what are some of the challenges that you face, you know, being a female fighter?
Well, the one thing I'll say is what I try to articulate this in a specific way, but, you know, looking back when I started fighting, it was like I don't look at myself as a role model or like championing for other women. You know what I mean? And I surely was not that woman who was like, I've never been this way, number one, and I'm still not. Like, you have to accept me because I'm a woman. And if you don't like it, then you're, you know, misogynistic or you're shit, man. Like, the world is like, Saudi Arabia, women just started being able to drive last year. You know what I mean? Drive a car. Okay?
Insane.
They can't even vote. Well, yeah, you know, they can't even go outside without a male, somebody who is a family member. I mean, like, people don't understand how lucky they have it here, how great they have it here to be in America. I know there's a lot of things that suck, and people can complain all day, but it's like, if you really think it's bad, you know what I mean? Like, go to Cameroon or something and live down there and see how they really treat women. Women get amazing opportunities. We can be doctors. We can be lawyers. We can be president of the United States. We can do anything we fucking want to do. The only limitations are what people put on themselves. So, yes, I mean, even though I was still involved in the sport 2012, it was like, I just went, I'm glad that it's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think of all the things that we have, and I've always been that way. I always think of what we have, not what we don't have. And all you have to do is just, if you stay on the right track, you show, well, obviously we have to show that women can compete and we can fight at high levels and we can, you know, obviously that's a key to it too. But as with men and women, because they are distinct, and that's what makes the sport so great, is that we both bring different aspects. But I'm not here to, like, say, watch me fight. You have to watch women fight. I'm not that person. All I can do is let my actions speak. And I think anybody who knows me and who's trained with me and who, you know, they know I'm a woman, but they treat me like an athlete. They don't go, "She's good for a girl." You know what I mean? They go, "She's good."
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I'm trying to push, because right now we have this big agenda. And yes, I'm going to touch on this a little bit. Like, you know, in the last 8 or 10 years, like the certain movement with women, it's made people very comfortable with, you know, like disrespecting men, I guess is a good, I don't know how to explain this, so I don't sound like I'm, but you know, women going out there and punching men and going, "Oh, you can't hit me back." It's like,
yeah,
there are differences. Does that, you know what I mean? I don't know if you know what I'm trying to get at, but it's like,
I do. I think it's ridiculous. Yeah.
And I mean, like they talk about a wage gap. It's like, yes, of course, you know, there are men that, you know, men get paid more than women in certain things. But let me tell you, as a boxing coach, I make more than a lot of my male counterparts. You know what I mean? And why? Because I worked hard for that. I didn't ask to make more money because, oh, I'm a woman. Look at my accolades and my background and who I train with and who I learn from. It's like, and I know my shit and I'm still learning, and I can warrant charging X amount of what I do because I put the blood, sweat and tears in, you know what I mean? I never asked for a handout. So, you know, I'm kind of going on a tangent a little bit, but it's like, again, I'm very happy that the women are getting the opportunities that they do. We're still far behind as far as, you know, certain things. But what I will say is, like, MMA is flourishing for women. Boxing is not. Boxing is dead for women. You know, you got Clarissa, you got Katie Taylor, and there's a couple other ones. But, like, I didn't get back into boxing because I'm being paid. I'm making, like, several thousand bucks, right? I'm making nothing. I'm doing it because I love it. And it's like, if I wanted to get into MMA, trust me, I'd be making way more money. But women get paid a lot more than some of the men, you know. There's just something about the boxing game right now, because it was way, you know, the divisions were much deeper when I was fighting in, you know, like the time when Layla was fighting, Frazier was fighting, like, it's just different. The divisions were deep. They're pretty shallow now. There's really not a lot of women that are fighting. You maybe got like 10 good ones in each division. You know what I mean?
Better
Tammy?
Known. Yeah. Better. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Better known. And so you just mentioned something that I'm dying to ask you about. I remember, I think it was June 11th, 2005. I remember this like it were yesterday. I was at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. And I went to watch the fight, Mike Tyson's fight, and Leila Ali and you. And I was like, it was such a big deal to see two major, you know, like the undercard and the main card. And this was like Mike Tyson's like very last fight. And it like made me cry. Like everything he said, he was like, "I'll give you your money back. It's just not, boxing's not in my heart anymore." And it like literally made it hurt my heart so bad to see him because of his career and knowing, you know, having been to his documentary, I went to the screening of his the premiere of his documentary, and knowing him,
right,
and just watching you on the undercard of this iconic fight, his very last fight, fighting Leila Ali. I gotta ask you, this is so monumental. Like, what was it like to fight Leila Ali?
Well, I mean, first off, it was like contention. You know what I mean? I think at that point I was like 7-1-1, and she was 22 or 23-0. And back then, you know, again, it was like, you know, again, they didn't have the platforms that they did. So it was like, you know, you know Sue Fox, right? How she's got like WBA, like that was really like the big thing. So anytime we wanted to do a call out or something, it was like, you know, someone pressed a newsletter. And then you'd read it, and then you'd be like, "Oh, bitch said what?" You know what I mean? And then you'd type your newsletter and send it in, and then she'd post it. I mean, that's how, like, you know, archaic shit was back then.
Right. It was not no Twitter. It wasn't no tweet or IG post.
No. It was like right. snail mail, you know what I mean? You're like, I'm going to get on yeah. AOL and send my email. Like, this is not a, it's hilarious, you know what I mean? But really, totally. This is the difference with like instant gratification, you know, we had to wait. So Layla and I, we did not like each other. I was like, okay, I'll fight you in boxing, and then you fight me in MMA, which of course never materialized. But what a monumental thing, you know what I mean? It was like I got this offer, and we fought for 2 world titles. So I think Jackie Nava, who's a badass, and she's still fighting. I think she fought for the first ever women's WBC belt because – for people who don't know, this was the green belt, the most prestigious. It was relegated for just the men. So Layla and I fought for the second women's WBC title. And then I think we fought for, I don't know, you'd have to look it up, but it was the IFBA, you know, one of the 5 high sanctioning belts.
IBF, right?
Yeah.
IBF?
It was the International Boxing Federation. So
yeah,
one of the 2, but 2 very titles. And, you know, I mean, hey, I got there. I don't like how it ended. You know what I mean? It's like, I think I could have done a lot better. There's none of that matters now, but, I did pretty well. You know, we had 3 rounds and I did the best that I could at that moment. So, you know, that I'm still the only woman to be ranked in the top 5 in both sports at the same time. And that's a pretty big thing.
And
you know,
did
at
very
the time,
well,
I
by
didn't...
the way. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I did. Sorry. I did. You know, I'm like my harshest critic. There's fights that I've had that I've never even watched, by the way. Even if I beat somebody
wow.
up, it's like there's some fights I've never watched. And I don't
really?
Know. I just always, I'm very, Yeah, quite a few. Like
why
half.
Is
I mean,
that?
I've had
why do you do that?
I don't know. I've had 29 pro fights, and I probably watched half of them. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's weird. Probably because I'm
like you're over
hard
it?
On myself. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's just a part of me, like, it's ego. You know what I mean? There's things that I'm going to see that I don't like. There's things I'll leave it to somebody else to watch it. You know what I mean? And maybe one
yeah,
day I'll
yeah,
go
totally.
Back and look at those things. But, yeah, that's just, you know.
Just something
so
that,
her and I
yeah,
fought.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah. So her and I fought. And then, you know, that was, yeah, 2005. So then 2005, 6, 7. And then, you know, 2 years later, whenever it was, her and I met again because we both did American Gladiators together.
Mm-hmm.
And she,
mm-hmm.
her, and Hulk Hogan, remember, were the the MCs.
Right.
And I was like, this bitch again. You know.
Oh my God.
And we're
what
cool
was it
now.
Like, to
like
face her again. Yeah.
We're cool now. You know what I mean? She sent me a message last year, like, you know, and she's still the same. I'm still the same too. But like, you know, I think our. Like, I'll rev it fucking up. Don't get it twisted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty mellow
yeah.
now. But I don't, you know what I mean? I can go 0 to 60. I can make it real very quick, too. But she, you know, she messaged me and she was like, hey, it's great to see you back. And it was authentic, you know what I mean? And I thanked her and whatever. But it's like, you know, guaranteed if we started talking shit, she'd be like the same, you know?
Right.
But
right.
when we did that show together, that's going back, it's like that's an opportunity that you get from not just fighting. It's not like I just fought and I was like just some, you know what I mean? I did really well and I put myself on the map, and that's how I was able to get opportunities like that. And people liked how I
yeah,
looked
absolutely.
And I have, you know, a way about me and charisma and a character. It's like, and that's what people need to see, because you know, they want to know that they can identify with somebody. And I'll put that out there for any fighters that are listening. It's like, even if you're a great fighter, and there's tons of boxers and MMA people that are great and very talented, you have to connect with your audience. This is another thing I'm really going to, like, you know, reiterate, where it's like, if you might not be comfortable speaking, but you're going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
You are your brand. And you have to
mm-hmm.
sell yourself.
Yeah.
And the only person who knows your brand like you is you.
For
you
sure.
You know what I mean? And you have to, right. And it's like, there's so many people who don't understand. It's like, why am I getting passed up for this? Well, because you're not putting yourself out there. I've always
right.
been
like,
comfortable
I'll put
talking
people...
and like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put people like on my platform or other people will put them on their platform, right? And I'll be like, okay, make
yeah.
sure you post, make sure you promote it. And then there's like
yeah.
one post and you're like, what are you doing?
Right.
It's like, you know what? Yeah. And you can't always expect your promoters, your managers
right.
and all that to put you out there. You, no. like you said, I totally want to reiterate that you are your best promoter. You are
yeah.
what people are going to want to watch. And if you're not into you, who else is going to want to be into you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's like nobody knows you like you, your business. That is your brand. Like Erin Toehill,
yeah.
people know my name. And I made it
yeah.
that way. I made it that way. So it's like, yes, I did my fighting, but, you know, I'm very comfortable speaking. I like to speak. I'm articulate. I'm eloquent when I want to be. And and I like being able to connect with people and know that, like, you know, we have something in common. Why does this woman like me? Why does this guy like me? What about it? You know, and you have to. So when people, like, I know a lot of young fighters that aren't comfortable with that. And it's like, hey, man. And then if you start leaving your brand in the hands of somebody else, they're going to develop it in a way that you might not feel comfortable with. And that isn't you.
Mm-hmm.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. like.
Total.
And this is the day and age where everything is online. Like, you have the ability to communicate and reach anything, anywhere, you know?
True that.
So,
true that. I mean, speaking
yeah.
of, you know, one of the biggest hypes, you know, online, and I got to admit that I was trolling about this subject too, because I wanted to see what,
mm-hmm.
you know, each person said, but Layla was calling, or Clarissa Shields was calling out Layla Ali, and we know, like,
yeah.
you took like a 9-year break. You took a big break in fighting, and you came back, and that's Layla right now too. I mean, she's been retired for a long time. For her to come back to boxing, would mean what she said in an interview. She said it would take me like a year to sit there and train my rear end off and come back to fight you, Clarissa, you know, because I take it serious and I get the best
yeah.
of the best and this and that. But it's like,
yeah.
what do you think about taking breaks and coming back? What do you think about in that situation, Clarissa Shields and Layla? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know if it ever happened.
No, it won't happen. I mean, I was watching that too. And I, you know, it's like, I'm fascinated. I observe, you know what I mean? I don't, like, if somebody comes onto my stuff and they get stupid, I'm going to comment or I'm going to put them in place. But a lot of stuff I just read and, you know, sporadically I'll you know, maybe tag somebody, but I don't get involved in, you know, I don't interject myself on anything like that. I just
yeah.
like to observe. You learn a lot more like that anyway, but obviously she retired because, you know, she was undefeated. And
mm-hmm.
the thing is that the one person she never fought was Ann Wolfe.
Ann Wolfe.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like that was, everyone was scared to death of her. So it's like, I mean, even I fought Jackie Frazier. I got a no contest with her. So that's, you know, Joe Frazier's daughter.
But you even had a shot with Ann Wolfe, right? Like, you, Ann
yeah,
Wolfe
we actually,
is the, to me, she's the baddest
we
of the
signed,
baddest. I think she's probably the,
she's
baddest,
the baddest
female fighter out there.
Yeah. She's,
hell
she's
yeah.
a fucking,
hands
there,
down.
If Ann Wolfe came back, she'd knock the fuck out of Clarissa. She'd knock the fuck out of any chick that's fighting right now. I don't give a shit.
Thank you.
She's,
amen.
There's probably
yes.
like two women. Lucia Riker was another one of those that was just like a freaking man.
Badass.
You know what I mean? And Ann Wolfe
yeah.
is badass
oh, yeah.
and she's scary. I'm not scared of women. And her, I'm like, I'd have to, you know, I'll have to kill her to stop her.
She's a
I'd
freaking beast. And then she came out, she was in Wonder Woman. I was like, wait a minute, that looks like Anne. I'm like, no way. And then I went to IMDb. I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
She
That's
was.
Anne Wolfe.
She
and
was.
She still looks
oh,
like
yeah.
she's a beast.
She's a gangster. You'd have to kill her to stop her.
Hell
you know
yeah.
what I mean? She's one of those
oh,
rare
my God.
Women.
And her story.
But,
oh, yeah.
I know. Oh, yeah. She's
so what
she's no
with
fucking
you and
joke.
Her? Like, you were you were about to.
We have the fight. So we signed the fight. Eliza Olson and Sunshine Fetiker fought on that card. This was in like, I always say Tunica, Mississippi, but it's somewhere fucking there. Anyway, I signed. So this is like 2002 or 2003.
Wow.
And
oh my God.
I took on anyone. This is not a joke when I say, like, I fought anybody. I'm not scared of anybody. I wasn't scared of her. I just knew this was a dangerous fight, but I knew it was dangerous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I fought.
Yeah.
I had a 6-round contract.
I have goosebumps
and,
right now, by the way. That's freaking badass. Just hat off to you right now. Badass.
Yeah. And, I mean, I wasn't making money. I was probably going to make $2,000 for fighting that dude. You know what I mean? The baddest bitch on the fucking
yeah.
planet. Okay?
Seriously.
That's why all these chicks that are like, oh, I don't want to fight. It's like, all right, well, I came back from a 12-year fucking boxing layoff and fought three of the best back-to-back, right? And, like, none of y'all
yeah.
will even fight each other. But that's the one thing I don't like. But digressing, going back to that. So we did the weigh-ins. I mean, I'm still a kid. You know what I mean? I'm like 25 at this time. Like, I don't even become a woman until I'd say I was like 35. You know what I mean? Like, coming into my own, being super confident, like knowing who Erin Tohill is. That took a long time,
yeah.
a lot of trial and tribulation. But so we did the weigh-in. We were there. We flew out, and then we were warming up, my coach and I, and it was literally 10 minutes before we were going to walk out, and the commission comes back. We're warming up like in a trailer. You know what I mean? Like, this shit was like in a casino, like outside. Like, come on. And they just problem with Ann's medicals. They didn't. You know, they didn't. I was like, what? You know what I mean? It's like,
oh,
the
my
biggest
God.
Fight of my life. And I just went, whoa. I mean, I was in shock, you know, and we're going,
totally.
Why? What's going on? And, you know, we never asked anything more. I don't know what it was. I can speculate. It doesn't matter. But it got pulled.
Yeah.
I think they paid us still. And then who knows? She might not have passed something with medical. It could have been a litany of things. I don't really know. But we never rematched and we never talked about it. But my God, all I know is that I should, you know, and like, I've just always fought the best. And I just figure, what is the point of doing this if you're not trying to fight the best? So,
yeah.
Why? You know what I mean?
That is amazing about
fact.
You.
That's real. You
cool.
can find all that information online. You know, our weigh-ins, you can find it. It's there. So everybody knows that one. So that was another one. And then, like I said, I mostly had, you know, I had a lot of big lulls in my career because people wouldn't fight me. So after I fought Layla, several months later, this girl who was high ranked, her name was Laura Ramsey. We got a fight. I beat the shit out of her. I boxed the shit out of her. She wanted a rematch several months later. I don't know why I rematched her because I whooped her fucking ass. Like, that doesn't happen. My dad died 3 days before this fight. And then
I
was out in Reno, Nevada. And she knocked, that's one of my two, like, TKO losses. Like, I've lost, but, you know, I've been dropped 3 times in my career. One was by Laura Ramsey, this girl, and then a fight last year. Raquel Miller, who was Team USA, she dropped me 2 times in a fight. And that's the first time, 3 times in 30 fights that I've never been dropped. And then I retired after that. She hit me. I shouldn't have even fought. Number one, I was so out of my mind because I think you and I talked about this or you looked at my Wikipedia, but my sister had died the year before in a car accident and I just kept fighting. You know what I mean? I like checked out. So I fought and then I went to Japan and fought 3 times. So after Megan died, I fought for a GBU title I won. Then the month later, I fought 3 times in Japan and won. And then that was 2005. I fought Layla. And then this Laura Ramsey beat her. And then when my dad died right before that fight, so she hit me with an overhand and it sat my ass down on the spacers, you know, the between the ring. the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
The spacer came undone. The ropes came undone. I fell on the judge's table. I'll never forget that.
My
I fell on the judge's table, and they give you 20 seconds to get up. She hit me so hard, and I was just on cruise control. You know what I mean? And I got back up and got in the ring, and the ref's like, no. So I got a TKO with that one, which is, whatever. But I retired after that because I was so out of my mind, and I was like, okay, you need to focus on one sport. And then I went back to MMA and then, kept fighting and winning.
So I got to ask you, do you like better? I mean, you box and you do MMA, which has got to be very tough, by the way, because I've seen MMA fighters try to box, and then the MMA comes out in the ring, and they try to kick it by accident. They don't mean to. It's just there's some natural instinct in us when you get trained.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what is it? How do you turn that off? How do you turn off being an MMA fighter in a boxing ring?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't have an answer to that. I think it's like, they're autonomous sports and you train them very specifically, especially when I get like MMA people that I train and they want to go into boxing. And I really start to show them, my clients or my students are like, what the fuck? Like they thought they knew, Like they thought they knew boxing and they have no idea. Which is great.
No, the stance, I think, is the number one thing that they mess up.
Yes,
the stance.
Absolutely.
It kills me.
Absolutely. I just don't get it. I don't get it confused. I never really did with my – even in my fights, even when they, would call fights and they'd be like, here's an MMA fighter. It's like, shut the fuck up. It's like, just because I do both. But now you'll see that there's a lot of MMA fighters. They are fighting in boxing. I've seen them on PBC and Top Rank. They'll come in, and even though they're the B-side, they do really, really well, But it's not something that everybody could do. It's like, there's people who still want to, like Cyborg, I know she wants to fight Brakus. I don't think that fight will ever happen. She wants to do boxing, which she can. Of course she can. But, it wouldn't be like how when I was doing it, where I'd actually have to start at the bottom and work my way up and go like a national title, regional title, and then get a world title shot. Like I worked my ass off to get like up the rankings, when you already like at this point, she would probably get an opportunity for a world title, like, and could just step in kind of like what McGregor and Mayweather
did.
And they made a first title.
I watched
and
everything around that. That was a big deal. And then it was such a letdown. I loved everything
he
around
did
that entire
really
thing.
Well, I'm a huge fan of McGregor. I love him. I think you want to talk about
that whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the guy. And you look at Mayweather, you look at McGregor, like, you want to learn how to sell yourself? Fucking watch those guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
And I love some good shit talking because you don't have to be smart. I really emphasize this. Like, you don't got to be smart to be funny, but you have to be smart to be witty. And there's a big difference between wit and humor, and the delivery of things. So, but these are, we're characters, and I was a heel. I wasn't a baby face. I mean, I was a heel for my whole career and I called everyone out. I talked a lot of shit. I didn't want to be friends with anybody. If we fought, we could be friends after, And now I'm
so
friends
funny.
With pretty much everybody because I don't really
that's
care.
Awesome.
I'm too old for that. But
that's so cool. Well, Aaron, we're getting toward the end of my show. I want to ask you a really important question. What advice do you have for the up-and-coming female fighters that are listening to our show? Because I called up a bunch of friends that I know, and they just, they want advice, and some of them are taking a break right now, and they're trying to get back in it, trying to be motivated. What advice would you have for up-and-coming female fighters or just fighters in general?
That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. So I'll try to expand on that. The first thing, obviously, is that you need to You need to find a gym where you're comfortable. If you feel as a woman, because Tam, you asked me this earlier and I kind of skipped over it, but you were saying, what were some of the other, the hard things about being a woman in sports back then? Okay. I went through a lot of sexual harassment. I went through a lot of guys trying to knock me out. I went through stuff back then that wouldn't fly now. Okay. Cause there wasn't cameras. There wasn't lawsuits. There wasn't, I put up with a lot of shit. And I was like, I stuck up for myself. If there was somebody that tried to do something, I, you know, whatever, I'd do what I needed to do. But, you know, the women now and the young girls now need to go somewhere where they feel safe, where they feel wanted. Again, the sense of community, it's like, you know, men are men, but you got to be aware of that. And there's a lot of great men in this sport. Like, I know way more amazing men than I do shitty men, but I've come across my fair share of them. So the young ladies and the women, they need to, like, you know, protect themselves. If something doesn't feel right, if something doesn't sound right, it's not right. And only they can figure out what that is. Does that make sense?
For sure.
Don't let people push you into a situation, a fight, anything that you are not comfortable with, because that's how people get hurt. I had people doing that to me a lot in my career. I got pushed into a lot of fights that I wasn't ready for because people wanted to make money off me. So I'm really big on watching out for the women and protecting them. You know what I mean? And having someone to protect their sense of self and like their self-esteem and their confidence. Because as a coach, you can completely obliterate that with a student or a human being. If you say the right, wrong thing, or if you take them down the wrong path, it's horrible. It's a really sad thing. And then the other thing that women need to know is, you know what I mean? Look, there are obviously situations where you're going to fall in love with somebody and you're with them. That happens. That happened to me, you know, in 25 years. One of the guys I married, you know, and then another guy I was with for a long time, somebody I trained with. But don't shit where you eat. You know what I mean? These girls get in here and these guys give them a little bit of attention because they're looking for it. And then pretty soon, you know, they've gone through the whole wrestling team. Look, these guys aren't going to, you know, you want to be respected. Like, let the guys are going to think chicks are hot. I don't really care about that. But respect yourself. Have enough respect for yourself that when you go to train with your coaches or whoever, that it's just training. And if you feel like your coach is hitting on you, get rid of him. Report him. Whoever it is, you know what I mean? Because I bet you that's not the first time the guy's done it. You know, like, this is a big time for women right now. We're huge in this sport, but it's like you have to stand up for yourself, stick up for yourself, and voice your opinion. Don't ever let somebody make you feel small, make feel like your opinion does not matter, because it does. You know,
you're
and,
so right.
Keep it. Yeah, I keep it separate.
We That's right. That's right. I'm glad that that message was so very important. We're getting ready to, it's going to cut us off in a minute. I want to ask how people can follow you on social media, and then I'm going to have to let you go. And
okay.
How can people follow you on social media?
I'm glad I fit all that in because I knew I wanted to say something like that. Anyway, my Instagram is, I don't do Twitter. I'm never on that stuff. But the best way is Instagram is Erin, E-R-I-N, .fights, F-I-G-H-T-S. I have a private account. Hit me up. I would love for you to follow me, see what I'm my next fight, and all of that good stuff. So thank you, Tammy, for giving me the opportunity to speak. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your inspiring story. I just am so grateful to have you on the show. And I wish you nothing but success. Keep living that dream. Can't wait to move around with you when all this nightmare is over with COVID-19. Want to tell everyone, look out for my blog that will be released on Monday. Also, add me on IG, Reese, R-E-E-S-E, 119. And also want to announce that my next show will be on June 4th, which is my birthday, Gemini. And I'm going to ask that all my friends and everybody on the show call in and join me for my birthday. Thank you all. Good night.